Today, households in the crosshairs as real wealth falls. Hello again, it's Martin Noth from Digital Finance Analytics, one of the latest posts covering finance and property news. Well, in the latest statement on monetary policy, the Reserve Bank updated its economic forecasts, which explains why it raised interest rates this month from 4.1% to 4.35% after four consecutive pauses. But importantly, it just shows how the economic engine is misfiring, with households very much on the front line. While the business sector overall appears to be doing fine, it appears working age households will continue to do the heavy lifting on containing inflation via higher interest payments, cutting their individual consumption, and falls in real wages that are expected to continue until the middle of next year at the earliest. And due to the combination of suddenly high inflation and relatively weak income growth, the RBA now expects real household disposable income, which is a key measure of living standards, to keep sliding sharply until at least the second half of next year. And to underscore this, recent OECD data shows that Australian households have suffered the biggest fall in real per capita household disposable income of any advanced economy over the past year. In the 12 months to June, Australian household income slumped 5.1%. That's the sharpest fall recorded across the OECD. The outcome was in contrast to the OECD as a whole, where living standards increased 2.6% as countries, including the United States, United Kingdom, and France, recorded real income gains. The decline means Australian real household incomes are now just 18% higher than in 2007, compared with 22% across the OECD as a whole. And Deloitte Access Economics lead partner Pradeep Phillips said, Australia's 2.2% population growth rate explained about one-third of the decline in per capita incomes. The RBA dramatically increased its short-term inflation forecast in response to the most recent consumer price index data from the ABS, which showed inflation accelerating in the September quarter. As a result, the bank now expects both the headline and its preferred measure of trimmed mean inflation to come in at 4.5% to the year to December, which is a 0.6% point upgrade to the core measure. And it expects inflation to remain close to 4% through to the middle of next year before gradually drifting back to just under the top of the 2% to 3% target range by the end of 2025. Friday's more detailed statement shows that the RBA modestly revised its trimmed mean inflation forecast for the end of 2025 from 2.8 to 2.9%. But note that their estimates are based on the market pricing for interest rates, which had factored in Tuesday's cash rate increase to 4.35%. Nearer term inflation forecasts were upgraded substantially, with trimmed mean inflation expected to be 4.5% at the end of the year, compared to August's 3.9% forecast. And given the forecasts, we should be assuming a cash rate of 4.5%. ANZ economists said that a further tightening is possible. JP Morgan economist Tom Kennedy said that the major upgrades to the forecast were largely expected by the market, with Bloomberg data showing the market is pricing in around a 50% chance of another rate rise before the RBA stops. We retain our view for the cash rate to remain on hold, but with a hiking bias, retained into the first half of 2024, Mr. Kennedy wrote. The Reserve Bank has modestly increased its long-term inflation forecast while revealing the board's debated a further pause in the cash rate increase at this week's meeting before deeming it appropriate to tighten monetary policy settings despite an uptick in some measures, stabilising wages growth, a softer economy, and easing other labour market conditions. And as the pandemic disruption fades, it said productivity growth may pick up, reducing the growth of unit labour costs, further easing inflationary pressures, but then we haven't had much luck with productivity improvement over the last few years, have we? As such, it is still possible that inflation will return to target in a reasonable time frame, they say. A further pause could also allow further time to consider how the evolving situation in the Middle East will affect the outlook for global activity and energy prices. But the board opted for the increase, judging it was warranted to be assured inflation will return to target in a reasonable time frame. Before Tuesday's meeting, market pricing implied a 2-in-3 probability that the cash rate would be raised. The increase, when it came, was interpreted by some as a dovish hike as the Australian dollar softened while short-term bond yields fell as traders bet the central bank was at or near the end of its rising cycle. Inflation is expected to decline more gradually than previously forecast. Inflation is forecast to decline to around 3.5% by the end of 2024 and to reach a little below 3% at the end of 2025, the statement said. Meanwhile, the bank upgrades its economic growth forecast and expects GDP to expand by 2% to the end of 2024 and 2.4% at the end of 2025 compared to its August forecast of 1.6% and 2.3%. On face value, the new forecast leans hawkish given the size of the near-term revisions and indicates the RBA is further from its target than previously thought, Tom Kennedy said. But upgrades were widely expected heading into the release, and the leadership had nevertheless chosen to slightly raise the bar for further tightening with this week's guidance changes. The RBA said it was weighing the need to counter the damaging effect of high inflation with the painful squeeze higher rates were imposing on borrowers and the desire to preserve job gains. Commonwealth Bank economist Gareth Ayres said that Reserve Bank would prefer not to raise rates again in this cycle, but they're very much data dependent. This means the board is willing to raise the cash rate again if the economic data, particularly around inflation, comes in stronger than their updated forecasts. But actually more interesting are the dynamics driving this persistent inflation and how this affects different sections of society. At the heart of the issue is population growth. Stronger than expected population growth is helping to prop up business pricing power at the same time as putting a lid on wages growth, says the RBA. Output growth this year has had a bit more momentum than was expected 3 months ago, which is partially the result of stronger than expected growth in population, as well as more strength in the growth of private and public investment, the bank economists noted. Business investment and public demand are expected to continue to contribute to output growth in coming quarters, supported by strong population growth and easing in supply constraints in the large pipeline of projects, including for public infrastructure. That said, the bank noted that the staffing and material constraints holding back and pushing up the costs of many public and private infrastructure projects, particularly in transport and renewable energy, and that the IMF recently called for some of those public projects to be delayed to take some demand out of the economy right now. The population element of the equation is interesting because actually the RBA concludes overall that it is not adding to inflation pressures. The supply and demand effects of stronger than expected population growth appears to have roughly offset in aggregate, while helping to alleviate labour shortages in specific sectors such as hospitality, the RBA argued. This has helped to contain wage pressures in some affected industries and geographic areas, although increased migration has not materially affected aggregate wages growth. However, if increased population growth has not greatly affected wages growth, it's unclear how it is not adding to inflation, given observations elsewhere in the RBA statement. Australia's working age population rose by 2.8% over the year to September. This is the strongest rate of working age population growth since this series began in February 1979, the report observed. And this has supported demand conditions for Australian businesses. In particular, total spending has been supported by strong growth in international students and tourists over the past year. This includes a large contribution from Chinese tourists and students since the start of 2023, despite a slowing economic recovery in China. Total spending, rather than consumption, determines the demand conditions that feeds into the price-setting behaviour of consumer-facing firms. However, an increase in international students does support the supply side of the economy, as many students participate in the labour force. Now, if you translate all of that from its economic jargon, it means that more people means more demand, even if each person is cutting back their individual spending. And it is this total demand that determines whether businesses can pass on cost increases and particularly even add on a bit more profit margin. Even more directly, the sudden surge in population is a key factor driving record low rental vacancy rates and the steepest rent increase in decades. That, of course, feeds directly into inflation. And the boost to the supply side dampens inflation by ensuring an adequate supply of products and services to meet demand, but also by meaning employers do not need to further bid up the price of labour as they would need to if workers were more scarce. Now, the Reserve Bank has noted from various sources, including Business Liaison, that annual wages growth in the private sector appears to have peaked at around 4%. And that was reflected in the small downgrade to its wage price index forecasts and a much larger reduction in both outcomes and near-term forecasts for average earnings per hour, which were slashed by 1.8 percentage points for the year to June and 2.7% for the year to December, and also were slightly downgraded for next year. Most economists do not expect the rates component of household pressure to start easing before the second half of next year. Gareth Aird at CBA is expecting the first rate cut to occur in September 2024, and with two more before the end of next year, taking the cash rate back to 3.6% before three more cuts in early 2025. But they've always been a little bit bearish on where rates might go. If population growth remains elevated or consumption strengthens due to rising house prices, it would make the RBA's job of returning inflation to target more difficult, he warned. In such a scenario, the cash rate may sit at its peak in the cycle for longer than we currently anticipate. Precisely. Fiscal policy is also a key source of uncertainty because any loosening in fiscal policy at either the state or the federal level could put upward pressure on demand and, by extension, inflation. And note that the already legislated 2024 income tax cuts will provide some stimulus to the economy over 2024 and 2025. But if you stand back and look at all of this in detail, three points. Firstly, the RBA is expecting rates to be higher for longer because inflation is expected to be higher for longer. Secondly, the brunt of the pressures are on households, not businesses. Businesses seem to have sufficient pricing power to pass costs on to consumers. Consumers, on the other hand, in real terms, are going backwards, as the OEC data shows. And given the high migration and the fact that many business employers are now able to get cheaper staff thanks to the high migration, wages growth will also ease back further. And the third point is this: the interest rate impost is unequally spread across the economy, of course. We have one third of people with a mortgage, and those costs are rising very significantly and will continue for some time yet. That's putting a lot of pressure on many households. On the other hand, you do have some that are enjoying higher interest rates on their savings. That's a turnaround from years ago when you've got pretty much nothing on money in the bank. And then, of course, you've got the rental sector, where they are really caught with higher rents, less availability, and more demand. So if you think about all of this, what this tells me is that it's households who are going to be feeling the brunt of the RBA policy measures over the next year or two. Federal and state governments might be able to do a little around the margin, but that risks inflation continuing for longer. And also, of course, it costs more with higher interest rates. So the RBA is calling out two conclusions. Firstly, rates will be higher for longer. Rates may go higher yet, and they'll be data dependent. In other words, they're making policy decisions by looking in the rearview mirror. Not necessarily very sensible. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. My thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.